Music makes people come together at festivals, gigs and clubs. We share epic moments. Best friends for the entire set or the rest of our lives. Heineken, live your music. To get your hands on tickets to all the best gigs and festivals, visit heinekenmusic.ie. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Roisin Murphy here, delighted, excited to be back talking to great artists. Today I'm going to be talking to Paige Keaghy, the multi-talented, brilliant artist. So I'm absolutely delighted to welcome Paige Keaghy here. Hello.
Hi.
It's great to have you.
Thank you.
We've had a wide selection of artists and you're the last one I'm doing, so you've added another feel to this thing. You know, you're my only grime artist.
Okay.
In a way, you're probably the most modern artist that I've interviewed. Maybe a little bit outside my remit, but I certainly can feel it. I can feel the music and I can feel your soul in your work.
Yeah.
So I'm really, really happy to have you here.
Thank you. I love that.
But it does seem like you work with a lot of artists within the scene. And the scene, for all its kind of reputation, let's say, does seem from the outside to have a great sense of community within it. Would you say that's true?
Yeah, I'd definitely say that, especially in like the UK grime and hip hop scene, everyone kind of supports everyone. Everyone's always like posting each other up on social media and just supporting and bigging up when someone releases like a track. And like, if I was to do a show, I'd bring out a few more acts that are also in the scene. Yeah. And they would come out and perform. So I feel like it is definitely like a close-knit community.
Yeah. And you feel like they're there for you. You're there for each other.
Yeah, definitely.
Because oftentimes as a musician, that's not the case. You know, you feel kind of quite alone. I've been talking to people who come from little tiny villages in Dorset and what have you.
Wow.
And they have to kind of fight out of nothing, out of no scene type thing.
Yeah.
They have to kind of create something, and that can be quite lonely. But it's not like that in the grind scene.
Totally different. It's definitely a family.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's lovely. Yeah. And so when did you start actually rapping?
I've been rapping since I was in like primary school.
So before the acting, because you're also well known for your acting, aren't you?
So I started rapping, I think I was probably like 10. So it was like the ending of primary school. I used to rap and then show my mum my raps, and she used to like say, oh, these are really good. And I would get CDs from like the Sun newspaper, Daily Mirror, and sometimes it was weird. They used to give out like CDs that were instrumental sometimes, and then I'd play them and I would just write to them, and it was like club beats, and I'd just write little raps to them and show my friends. And then I remember doing my like first recording on a little tape cassette, and I had to like put the tape in, and it turned round. I had to turn the tape round for it to go round. And yeah, that was like my first ever recording. And then I got into it when I was in school, and I took music as a GCSE.
Right.
And then it was my teacher who really like egged me on and told me, this is great, why don't you put it on YouTube? And then I put like my final piece that I'd done for my GCSEs on YouTube, and it got like a really big response. I got like 10,000 views in a month, which was amazing for like an unheard artist.
Yeah.
And then I think that's kind of how my whole music career took off.
So when was your first major release? When would you call? Or you've had three mixtapes, you call it, right?
Yeah.
So it's not albums. Is that because, what is the difference between a mixtape?
I kind of like to put things out and call it a mixtape, not album, because I kind of feel like album has a pressure. If you put an album out, you've kind of got that pressure, like it needs to get into the charts.
Mm-hmm.
You need to sell this much, that much. If you just say it's a mixtape, it can be the same quality as an album, but with less pressure.
Are all the beats made for you?
And they're all original.
Yeah, all original.
Made for me. I think back in the day, a mixtape was when you would cover a track.
Yeah.
So you would take another artist's track and you would literally do a remix.
Do a
now,
new version.
A mixtape is just an album, but it's just a different name for an album.
It's just a different name.
Yeah.
It's a cooler name.
Yeah, it's a cooler name. So
that's what I'm doing next, then. I'm going to do a
mixtape. Yeah.
Get albums. It's over for me, that now. So, yeah, sorry, going back to that question, how old were you when you put out the first one?
I think I was 19 or 20.
Had you already done the acting then at this point?
Well, my first acting job, I was actually in college. I think I was 17 or 18.
Mm-hmm.
So my first ever film was Attack the Block by Joe Cornish.
Wow.
It was like a sci-fi It was weird. It was actually a sci-fi, gritty, urban London yes. sort of film about aliens in South London. And that was like my first ever film. And then that kind of went on to me doing Waterloo Road.
Yes.
Where I went to live in Glasgow for 6 months.
Wow.
Yeah, and I shot 20 episodes of Waterloo Road. And it was around that time I started really putting all my energy into music. And that's when I said, I really want to do music. Like, I'd given up work and I was just doing acting. Acting was great, but I always felt like music is where my heart was. So that's yeah. when I kind of started putting my music out there.
And so what happened? What was the reaction and how did that change your day-to-day life?
Well, from doing Waterloo Road, that's where I started to build a fan base. So I remember the night that my episode aired, I went from like 1,000 followers to like 15,000 followers on Twitter. Mm. And then that's when I thought, wow, like people are really like, they're liking my character. And then I thought this would be a great time to put music out because a lot of people are engaged in social media as what's going on in my life. So then I recorded a track, put it out, and as soon as I posted the link, everyone was retweeting it like, wow, this is good. And then I started to work out that a lot of people that are watching me on the screen are now listening to my music. So yeah. I started to build my fan base through the people that watch me on TV.
That was very smart.
And it worked, yeah.
Yeah, nice one. And then, so you've never really, you own your own music, is that right?
Yeah.
You've not signed to a label. Uh-uh. And you just sort of, what, are you waiting for the right moment or do you want to run ting forever or?
I'm independent and I like being independent because I feel like my own boss.
Yeah.
So like I manage myself. Right. I have like a good team of friends and other people in the industry who help me. Mm-hmm. But I literally organise everything myself.
Right.
Because I don't know what it is, but I'm just very, I know what I want and I feel like other people don't understand.
So when you say team, you mean like PR?
No, not even PR.
What
I'm quite a favour for favour type of person, so
gangster.
it sounds crazy, and like people ask me like, how much do you spend on a music video? And I'm like, I do it for free, because I do favours for favours. You help me, I help you. That's
yeah.
It doesn't always work, but
what, even them fancy ones where you've gone abroad and everything like that, it's not cost you anything to make the video.
Not really. It's mainly cost the flights and the apartment, the Airbnb. But yeah.
And what, do you get involved in the making of the videos yourself,
so
artistically?
All the videos you see, I've come up with the locations, the styling. I've got a guy called Justin, used to work with a girl called Kazara, but we always sit down and we talk about how I want to be styled. And all the locations and the whole storyline is always me. There's mm-hmm. only been one video where the director came up with the idea.
Yeah.
But other than that, I come up with everything.
And what about directing? Could you not maybe do the directing
as well?
Yeah,
I would love to direct.
I've been directing my own videos recently. It's very, very hard work, but it's really good, challenging.
But yeah, when you see like the outcome, it must be amazing.
Yeah, it is. You should do it, definitely.
I really
do. With your experience of acting as well and being on sets, and you would be just a shoo-in for all of that. So that, you should definitely do that.
I'm definitely going to do that.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So what do you think was the reaction? The reaction was pretty good, solid for the first one. And then what happened with the second one? How many years later was that?
The second mixtape. I think the second mixtape I didn't have as much support.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of feel like that is because I wasn't consistent. So I went through a time in my career where I wasn't consistent. So while Waterloo Road was coming, was like airing on TV, I was doing a lot of music videos, collaboration. A lot of people was just seeing me on social media, so my consistency was very high. As soon as Waterloo Road stopped and like my income stopped coming in, I kind of started to doubt myself, and that's when I told myself, I don't think this is going to work. And then when I put out the next mixtape, it didn't get a really good response.
Was there a difference in it musically?
Yeah, there was. I feel like I lost myself. I feel like I was just trying to collaborate with as many artists as I could.
Mm-hmm.
And it just didn't work. I tried to put as many artists on the track as I could, but it was all forced. Nothing was organic.
Yeah.
It was more just like, yep, he's popping, I want a verse. But when I listen back to it, I don't feel a connection with it at all.
Oh, that's a bit of a pity. Yes. Well, maybe years later you might go back and hear things on it and say, well, actually, oftentimes that can be the case. You know, I heard a record in a record shop last week, one of mine, and that I'd totally forgotten about or tried to forget about.
Yeah.
And then it sounded all right again, you know, so that can happen.
Yeah.
So then what did you do to change that situation?
that's when I think that was around the time I got a new team around me. Mm. So I did have management, and then they kind of helped me and built me back up. And then I put out another mixtape and it went well, but I just felt like I wasn't consistent. I felt like having a team and management around me, they were very, they kind of do things by the book. So we put this release out, we're going to let this release marinate for six months and then we're going to put another one out. But within that 6 months of a video coming out, people are now saying, do you still do music? Where's your next video? And the momentum...
So you weren't able to work the way you're natural.
The momentum went down and a lot of people weren't really checking for me and seeing if I've got anything new out, which I didn't. And yeah, I kind of just lost momentum and I just kind of got a bit too laid back.
So what's happened then? So you've moved on again, have you?
Yeah, and then that's when I realised I need to do this myself. So I cut all ties with my management, in a good way, we're still cool. And that's when I said I'm going to do everything by myself because I feel like I get things done when I do it myself.
And what are you in the process of doing right now?
I'm about to drop another mixtape.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to drop it in the beginning of January. Mm-hmm. It's called Flavours, and it's called Flavours because if it was food, you'd be able to taste it. I mean, the music, this is how this, so it's, I can't explain it, but like the music tastes like food, if that makes sense. Like if the music was food, it would be so much flavours.
It'd be delicious.
It'd be delicious. So, and I love cooking, so I just thought I'd put the two together.
Lovely.
So Flavours.
And so when's the first single coming out?
Well, the first single came out, it was the one where I was on holiday with a guy called Gecko. I don't know if you saw that one, and it was like a nice apartment, swimming pool, and
that's the one I'm thinking
of.
Yeah,
so that was the first single that done really well. So
that's good.
Yeah, so that kind of helped push this whole idea, and we're actually going Cancun, me and that same guy Gecko, on the 3rd of January to shoot another one.
Wow,
similar sort of vibe, you know, holiday.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. And so would you do more acting as well? You're going to bring that back in? Or because, well, that's been pretty consistent throughout the years. You've come and gone with it.
I've come and gone. This year I was in a film that came out called Versus. Came out, I think, October. It came out in October. It was in cinemas for a week. I had a really good part in it. It was like a rap battle film, just like 8 Mile's Eminem's film. But it was like a UK version. Yes. And we shot it in Southend. And that done well, but it was only in cinemas for a week, so that's kind of like...
Can you see that online now, is it?
I think it will be out on DVD very soon. You probably could watch it online. Mm-hmm. Hopefully it ends up on Netflix.
Yeah.
And I was in another film this year called Intent 2. I had like a really small role. It's just like a gritty UK urban type of gangster crime type of film. So I had a really small role, couple words, but yeah.
You do live music because you play live, don't you? I noticed that you warmed up for a few American artists.
Yeah.
What do you do when you play live? What's the situation?
So I always have my DJ, Tiny Ease. It's usually just us. I don't really roll to shows with loads of people.
Yeah.
I'm very like, I just go with who I need to be with. So it's usually just me and my DJ. He's got his little setup. We already know the set. We don't need to rehearse because we do it all the time. Sometimes we change it.
Yeah.
And we always just give a really good show. By the end of the show, the crowd is always, it's like an encore. We want more. We want more. We just give a really good show. Sometimes I bring people up from the crowd, get them to dance or sing or just do something, do a competition, throw T-shirts out.
Yeah.
So I feel like I'm definitely a good performer in that sense.
What do you feel like when you're performing?
I feel like I'm on fire in a good way. So I feel like I'm buzzing. When I come off stage, I'm buzzing in it. Like, wow, I can't believe it. On stage, I'm just so much energy. I don't know where the energy comes from, but I have so much energy. I don't run out of breath. I'm constantly moving. I'm always doing like dance moves. And yeah.
That sounds a bit like me. I don't know where I get the energy from either.
I don't know, but I don't have that same energy when I go to the gym.
You'd be dying to go for a week, aren't you, when you go on stage? Yeah. And as soon as you go on stage, there's no sign of it. Or you could have a pain in some part of your body.
Sign.
That goes.
Everything disappears
but the focus on the performance and the audience. And as I said, you've warmed up for Little Kim, for Eve, Sierra.
Yeah.
What do you perceive as the differences with the American artists to the British ones that you know? Is there a difference? And do you think that your style of music can translate into America, let's say?
I definitely do think that my music can translate into the US. I feel like it's about a time and just knowing the right people and just getting it. I just feel like it's all timing and being at the right place at the right time. And eventually, I reckon I will. My music will.
You'll focus more
on
that.
Yeah, definitely. And as with US artists, I just feel like it's so different to over here. I feel like over here, it's hard to kind of be heard and go mainstream without making mainstream music.
Right.
Whereas over there, there's so many different platforms, so many different genres of music. The US is massive. So, you know, you can make any type of music and still have a massive fan base. You can make music just for your city, but still be the biggest in your city and probably be bigger than artists over here.
Yes.
In your city, because a city over there is as big as the UK, which is crazy. I feel like American artists are understood more than artists over here.
There's more kind of in place for them.
Yeah, I just feel like over here is really hard, especially for like the type of music I do. There's not as many ears over here to listen to my style of music.
But it's growing all the time.
It's growing, yeah. It's definitely growing all the time. And there's artists in the UK that have helped, like people like Stormzy and Skepta, who have helped like urban music and grime music in the UK.
And you've worked with, as I said, you've worked with all these people.
Yeah, I've worked with Stormzy as well.
Yeah, amazing. That must have been.
Yeah, it was.
Always gorgeous, isn't it?
I know.
Oh, lovely. I can see that somebody like you could definitely.
Yeah, I definitely think in the future I could definitely cross over into the US border. I honestly hope that's my dream.
Have you spent much time there? Have you ever tried to live there? Or
never tried to live there, but I do go there. I've just got back actually last month. I was in Atlanta for a show, which was my first show in the States.
Amazing.
At the A3C Festival, and that's literally just a festival for like up-and-coming artists to kind of get themselves heard. And it's crazy because there's like 40 shows on at one time.
Mm.
So it's really hard to get people to come to your show if they don't know who you are.
Yeah.
So you've got to spend a lot of time kind of selling yourself when you're out there, telling people like, hey, I'm performing.
So it's quite a sort of social gathering as well.
It's like a networking type of event.
A conference of
that's
music.
What it's like,
yeah. I've been to a couple of them myself in the early days. And we used to go to a dance music conference almost every year, which is really like that.
Yeah.
But how do you feel about the industry, you know? How do you feel about the music industry and how it's treated you and treats your music? Do you feel good about it, or do you feel separate to it, or is it relevant to you at all? Because I know you do so much yourself.
Yeah. It's weird. I've got like a love-hate relationship with the music industry. So like when I first came into the music industry, I didn't like the industry. I thought it wasn't a nice place. And it was just the way I was treated as a female as well. The style of music I do is a male dominated scene. So when I first came out, a lot of people wasn't taking me serious. I got a lot of criticism for being a female rapper. And it was hard because it doubted me, and it made me think maybe I can't rap. Maybe what people are saying is true. And it was hard, and it really did challenge my self-belief. But I got there in the end, and now I know that this is just people on social media who hide behind keyboards.
Well, people who are on social media, if they're saying mean things, they're looking for your attention.
Of course,
really. That's exactly what they're looking for. But you've got a huge following. You've nursed a following on Instagram that's past 250,000 people following you on there. And what is your feelings and relationship to social media? Do you think that that's given you power that you might not have had in a different time?
Yeah, definitely. I do sometimes think about if I was making music before social media, how would it be? Would I have as many supporters as I have now? Because I feel like social media is such a great platform to help spread your music and have other people hear it. If it wasn't around, I don't know how I would get my music out there. I don't know how people in Japan or Australia would hear my music.
Yes.
Whereas now I can put it up and then someone from Japan will message me like, hey, came across your music on YouTube, love it. And this is what happens all the time.
Yeah.
I have people in literally all parts of the world listening to my music.
Right.
And it's all down to social media and just sharing. And
what, talk me through your social media then, because it might help me.
Yeah.
you know, what's your first platform, your favourite?
My favourite platform is probably between Instagram and Snapchat.
Right.
So Snapchat I literally use every day. You literally just vlog your day, your day-to-day life every day. And when you travel or you go to a festival, there's a filter so you can put filters on to say, look, I'm in Spain or I'm at Wireless Festival. It's just fun. I think it's a great way to engage with fans because a lot of fans are...
They're speaking back to you.
Yeah,
that.
So they can message you back. They can send you pictures back. You can video call on it. You can voice note. You can text each other.
Mm-hmm. And how many people are on that?
So my day-to-day views is 50 to 90,000 views every 24 hours.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and that's why I feel like that's my most engaging like platform on social media.
Yeah. And then and your Instagram is massive. And what about Facebook and Twitter? And do you have a YouTube channel?
Yeah, I have my own YouTube channel. I literally just reached 100,000 subscribers the other day.
That's incredible.
And I've got my little YouTube trophy type of plaque.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I got that in my bedroom. I've been working on my YouTube channel for so long.
What do you do when you work? What do you mean by working on it?
I started my YouTube channel, I think 2013 or 2014. Mm-hmm. I think 2014 because I had one before. And then I kind of deleted it and started again. I rebranded myself as Paigey Cakey. And now I just upload like vlogs. I upload me cooking food, show footage, music videos. A lot of my music videos are actually on my YouTube channel, not anybody else's.
Not anywhere else.
No, so you can find them on like other urban platforms like Grime Daily, SBTV and Link Up TV. And they're like really big platforms in like grime music. They really help push your music.
Yes.
But I put a lot on my own channel just because I'm trying to build my own channel.
Yes.
And just get as many subscribers as I can and just...
So when you're vlogging, are you quite funny? I should have checked out your
vlogs.
Nobody told me about
My vlog, I'm not going to be big-headed, but I think I am funny. People tell me I'm funny. So yeah, my vlogs, I don't hold anything back. I keep it real. And I do a lot of jokes, a lot of accents. That's all I'm ever doing. I'm always doing accents.
Good.
I'm always doing like this little baby voice, like daddy. Huh? I like doing things like that, dancing, just keeping it real and showing people like my real personality. Because I think a lot of people get me and my music mixed up, so I want people to know who I really am.
There's a power to that, isn't there? Because I always felt like it was very hard for me to get my personality across through the videos and the music alone. And yeah, I do feel kind of more comfortable with my fans' perception of me now that I've been using Facebook and not so much Facebook, but Instagram especially for me. You know, that they know that where all this is coming from. And when you generate so much on your own, you want people to know you've done it yourself, don't you? You don't want them to think you've got, you know, on the one hand, you don't want them to think, oh, I'm all completely here on my own. But on the other hand, you want them to know that you did the things that you did and that somebody didn't just come in and sort it all out for you if you put the work in. So, yeah, it's interesting. But it's your generation and younger are the ones that really know how to make the most out of it, I think. And to be able to, the strength that it takes to kind of look into a phone or into a camera and just be yourself, it's not that natural for somebody of my generation, you know, whereas more... Your generation, it's kind of just, it's nothing, you know, it's just like talking to anyone.
I think it's because we grew up with it, so it's
That's
like,
right, yeah.
Yeah, so it just feels so normal.
Going back to music, presumably you got into other people's music quite young as well. So how old were you when you sort of started being really, really, really into music? Can you remember?
I was probably a baby because my mum and my dad played a lot of music when I was growing up.
Yeah.
My dad would play like a lot of jungle, garage, reggae, hip hop. My mum would play everything. My mum's favourite artist was Lisa Stansfield. Mm-hmm. I think that's her name. So she'd always play her. So I kind of grew up listening to that, listening to the jungle, the garage. And I think I took an interest in music when I was like early primary school.
Yes.
I used to play like the drums at lunchtime in school. And I kind of just liked the rhythm and the beat and just learning to, you know, understand rhythm. And then I started dancing. And right. I got into dancing.
So you went to dance classes and did dance shows and
things. Yeah, so I'd done a lot of shows.
Were you in a troupe of some kind?
Yeah, I was. It was weird. So the dancing I used to do was called street/soca. So we would do street dance, but we would combine it with like carnival soca. Uh-huh. And then we would perform at like Germany Carnival, Notting Hill Carnival, Bristol, Liverpool. And we would travel and do like carnivals. But then we'd also dance for like Coca-Cola and street dance competitions.
So would that have been your first experiences on stage and traveling to be creative and all
so
that?
That was the years of 2006 to 2012. I danced 6 years and then I gave it up to pursue music.
But that's it's kind of a classic story as well. Oftentimes you'll meet, I've got friends who are DJs, musicians, whatever, and they started with the dancing and then they would travel the world dancing and it would open their mind and they're in a world of creativity.
Yeah.
And doing something that's not going to school, that's not having a normal job, it sort of can open up that possibility in your head, even if you don't end up being a dancer. Is that how it was for you?
Yeah, I think that's what it was. I didn't have a dream of being a dancer, but I feel like it definitely opened up my thoughts into what I want to do. And I knew I wanted to do something in the creative industry, something where I would be on stage, because I love being on stage, but I don't think dancing was where my heart was. So I think that's how I found out. I want to be on stage, but it's not going to be dancing. It's going to be music.
But the travelling as well does it for you.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of... That opens you up to the idea of this could be the life, you know.
Yeah,
this could be something
So I love the travelling. I love getting on a coach for 12 hours.
Do
16
you?
Hours to drive to Germany.
Good girl.
I loved it. even now, I love travelling. I never take it for granted. Even when it's like, all right, we're going to be in Switzerland, then we're going to go to Moscow and we're going to do it all in 3 days. I love that. I just love knowing I have to be up at 5. We've got to be on a plane. We've got to get off and do sound check. Like, I love being busy and travelling. It's the best feeling.
Where have you been brought up? It's in around here,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, literally in Hackney.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you still live in here?
Yeah, still live in Hackney.
Have you seen a lot of changes?
Yeah, definitely a lot. When I grew up, it was a really rough area. It had like the highest crime rate in London. Mm-hmm. Clapton, which is in Hackney, was known as Murder Mile.
That's right.
And it's like now it's totally changed. A lot of people want to live in Hackney now. The prices have gone up. The prices of properties have gone up. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to live here. I've always liked it. And I feel like this is where my heart is at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In order to become, say if you come from someone, from a family that doesn't have a lot of money and you don't go to like the poshest school in London and so on, have you noticed that it's getting harder for kids like that to come up and actually say get into a dance troupe or get into something that will show them this way of living?
Yeah, definitely. I feel like a lot of people feel like they don't have opportunities, and I feel like more time it's down to who you hang out with.
Yeah.
So you might not go to the best school, but you might hang out with the right people.
Mm-mm.
I just feel like it's who you hang out with, and sometimes...
But aren't they closing like the youth clubs?
Yeah, and they're closing a lot of youth clubs because youth clubs nowadays don't get funding.
Mm.
And when I grew up, I went to a lot of youth clubs. They always had funding. Now it's like a lot of youth clubs in Hackney and adventure playgrounds are just closing down. There's not a lot of
Can you
facilities.
Tell me about the youth clubs that you went to? Tell me what that did for you.
I went to Shakespeare Adventure Playground every single day without a doubt. I think it was closed like one day a week and that was a Sunday. So I went there every single day and it was open till 6 or 7. And it would open from 3 p.m. So straight from school, I'll go home, change, go straight there. And every day they would have activities. So in Adventure Playground, it's like a playground that's made out of wood. You've got swings and you can just play tag and run up and down. Mm-hmm. And then indoors we'd do painting. We'd make cookies, make cakes.
So it kept you out of trouble.
Yeah, so that kept me out of trouble. And then like in the holidays, we'd go swimming. We'd go like horse riding. We'd just do loads of activities. And I also attended Pedro Youth Club, which was it's called Square, which is in Clapton.
Yeah.
And they had like a dance class there, which I attended as well, actually. And I would actually work there and sell sweets as a kid. So you could work behind the counter. We had like all these penny sweets and we'd sell it. It had a pool table.
And are they still there?
These people? That one's still there, actually.
Oh, that's good.
I'm not sure if it's open as much, but it's definitely still there.
But the funding for a lot of these things has just dried up, hasn't it?
Yeah, so a lot of them are closing down.
Here I am, Roisin Murphy, and you're listening to The Sync Sessions, brought to you by Heineken. Live your music. So how, when you're looking for music now, do you find music?
Every single day I look for new music. I'm always looking for new artists. I'm always looking for new sounds.
Where do you look?
SoundCloud and YouTube.
Yeah.
So I find a lot of hidden talent on SoundCloud.
Yes.
So SoundCloud is like my favourite place to just find really cool music, like really cool artists. And then I go on YouTube and see if they've got like visuals to go with their music. And then I go on Spotify and Apple Music and start downloading and buying music.
And how do you navigate the SoundCloud? Is there a kind of an editorial there?
Yeah, so
if
I type in like Beyonce, for example, on the side, it's going to show me loads of like related
things
artists
that you might like.
Or I might see a playlist and I'll click on the playlist and it will have similar artists. And that's kind of how I navigate through and find artists of a particular sound that I'm looking for.
So you don't collect any kind of physical vinyl or anything like that? It's all on your computer.
Now it is, yeah. But I used to literally go Woolworths and buy singles.
Did you? Yeah.
All the time.
Oh, to pop singles.
Some of them were. I used to buy like I brought Missy Elliott, Work It.
Yeah.
I brought Kelly Rowland, Stole. I brought like a pop song that Kanye West done with a. I don't know who it was who was singing on the chorus, but it was an old song. I'll have to look. I just used to buy loads of singles. Sometimes in Woolworths, I'd have to ask someone if they could buy the single for me and I'll give them the money.
Why?
Because it had their
parental guidance.
And I was too young.
Oh.
And so I just
have to pay people to do that for you.
Luckily,
somebody outside all the time waiting.
Give them the £1.99, £2, and then I'll just wait there like I'm the child, like. And then he'll give me the CD or she'll give me the CD after.
Oh, it's kind of ridiculous when you think about it, isn't
it?
But there would be no sense. There's no way of policing that online then, I suppose, if somebody goes to get content that's...
Yeah, unless you've got, like, parental locks.
Can you lock down certain kinds of music or...?
I'm not sure if you can. So I feel like, especially on YouTube...
Talking about locking down certain types of music, what do you make of drill and that they're trying to find a way to make it illegal to make drill music or to put certain kinds of content?
I think the thing that is sad with drill music is the message that is portrayed in the music. I don't have anything against people from the streets making music. My only issue is the message that they're putting out isn't a positive message.
Mm.
But at the same time, we can't ban that type of music because it is helping these young guys that are, you know, trapped in a horrible lifestyle or trapped in crime. But I just wish they wouldn't put it in the music and maybe just make more of a positive message. So I don't think it will be good to take this away from them because this might be one thing that's taken their mind off committing a crime.
Yeah.
But I do understand the message portrayed is not good. And there's a lot of young people that listen to this and then want to go out and reconstruct what they've heard.
Do you think so? Do you believe that?
I do, actually. I actually do believe that because I watch a lot of documentaries and I feel like there are some people in the world that can be easily persuaded.
Easily led.
Yeah, definitely. And sometimes I listen to music and they might talk about, I've got this gold on my neck. And it makes me think, I'd love to have like a gold chain. I'd love to have that. I'd love to have a car like that. So it is.
But I mean, that's in the culture
anyway,
isn't it?
Yeah, I feel like that's in the culture, but I do feel like
culture, just wanting more, of course. And also wanting more and more attention as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of this is on YouTube and stuff. And as just in a small way, if you say something negative to me on my list of comments, that's the thing you remember.
Yeah.
And I think people who are being negative know that. No, they're playing on the fact that you remember negativity much more than you tend to remember positivity, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
It's a kind of an easy way out, isn't it? But you can't legislate against it. I mean, it's ridiculous.
I don't think they can get rid of that sound.
The sound will evolve anyway, and it's part of the evolution of the music. So probably when it starts to become more successful, it'll calm down a bit anyway.
Yeah, I reckon it will.
But anyway, so do you ever go to clubs?
All the time.
What kind of clubs do you go to?
I don't really like wearing heels because I think they're uncomfortable. So therefore, I like to go to a casual dress club.
Mm-hmm.
I like going to places. I go round here quite a bit, actually, in Shoreditch and Dalston. Yeah. So my favourite place was Visions. It shut down. It was in Dalston Junction. I like going to Village Underground, which is round the corner, and I go to a night called Living Proof.
Right.
Living Proof, they play like hip-hop, trap, R&B, house. They play like everything that I love. Plus, you can just wear whatever you want. You can wear dress and heels if you want, or you can wear trainers and a tracksuit.
Yeah.
And you can get in. And it's just a really cool vibe. Everyone goes there to party, and that's what I love.
Yeah. So you're going to put new music out very soon. You've got a feeling that it's going to go well for you.
Yep.
And I have a feeling it's going to go well for you.
Yeah, thank you.
Do you want to go through some of these tracks? Every podcast that I do, I ask the artist to pick out, say, a top 10 or 10 favourite tracks of the moment or whatever. And you've picked a really interesting set of tracks. Fantastic stuff. For sure, it's the funkiest set of tracks I've had, I think. And you wanted to particularly talk about Miss Dynamite.
Yeah.
First and foremost. She's a big influence on you, right?
Massive influence. I love Miss Dynamite.
There isn't a soul that doesn't love Miss Dynamite, I think.
I don't think... You can't hate her. I think she's a lovely person. And when she was, like, her first album, all she was ever doing was putting a positive message out, you know, against domestic violence. There were so many topics she actually touched on in her album, but I just felt like she was a really cool, positive person.
Have you worked with her?
No, but I met her and I didn't express how much I love her. But she seen my interviews and she sent me a really lovely message on Twitter in my DMs, which I screenshot and I've saved forever.
Aww. And the track that you've picked is, you know, Dynamitey, which is her calling card, really. She has managed to be a pop artist, but totally respected, you know, at an underground level as well, as a fantastic MC.
Yeah.
And I think is that what you're aiming for as well, that kind of balance?
I've always wanted to be like Miss Dynamite, and I feel like she opened the door for so many females, because before her, I didn't know any other female rapper, so she was kind of the generation of music that I listened to as I was growing up.
Even
so
in the US, there wasn't really that many knocking around that could really stand there and pull it out of the bag.
Yeah.
I sort of singing in a club, emceeing in a club years ago, and it was phenomenal. It was like a bullet from a gun, like just straight to the gut. Like amazing, amazing artist. And you've picked another one of my favourite female artists in Missy Elliott, and Work It is a phenomenal track. Why have you picked it?
Work It, that was like one of the first singles I ever brought in Woolworths. Had to get someone to buy it for me. And Missy Elliott, I love Missy Elliott's style, vibe. I love how she's never tried to fit in and do the whole sexy, I'm a woman, I'm going to show my body. That's what I love about her. I'm very tomboy as well, so I just feel the same. I don't know, there's something about Missy Elliott that I love and I would love to meet her. And I feel like my music is definitely inspired by her, like her groovy beats. When I do rap, I rap on beats that Missy Elliott would probably rap on. And I just love her style. I feel like she doesn't fit in, she stands out.
Can you remember when you first came across her? She's one of them artists that you...
I wouldn't remember what the first song is, but I do know I found her on MTV Bass.
Yeah.
So at my dad's house, and he had Sky, so he had MTV Bass on, and I remember seeing her and I was like, oh my god.
Which track was it? Do you remember?
I don't know, but it's probably going to be one of her, like maybe Work It or Get Your Freak On or something.
I remember seeing I Can't Stand the Rain, that one, the video.
It could even be that. I just don't know
In the blow up.
Yeah, I feel like she's so creative. No one makes videos like that.
An incredible performer as well, and just putting together those visual ideas alongside the music being
and
so...
I feel like she stayed consistent visually.
Yeah.
So from the beginning to now, all her videos are just...
banging.
Yeah, I don't think any other artist has got videos like that.
No, I'm very influential, I think. Very, very much so. Okay, and then Deneo. I've worked with Deneo.
Oh, wow.
In his mum's house years ago.
No way.
he lives around the corner from
That's
me.
That's crazy.
And he's lovely, and such a talent.
Yeah.
So you've picked Chalice.
Yeah.
Tell us why.
I was in New York, not last month, but the month before, and I linked up with Deneo. And when we was in the studio, he was like, look, I've got this single I'm about to drop. Calvin Harris produced it, and he played this track. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. I actually got goosebumps when I heard it. And then as soon as I arrived back to London, he dropped it. He dropped the video and I was so excited for him. I just feel like it, that sound, the sound that he has is just like a fresh or like fresh of breath, a fresh of...
A breath of fresh air.
A breath of fresh air.
Ah, fresh of breath air. Yeah. That could be an album title.
A fresh of breath air. But yeah, and I think he's so talented and I just love his vibe. I feel like he's very genuine and he always, I feel like everything he puts out, it's always got a, it's just, it always makes me feel good. I feel like
he's had an incredible career because he's been going such a long time,
since
hasn't
Funky
he?
House.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and I think he's got an incredible voice.
Yes, he does,
a natural, husky, I just love his voice, so yeah. And that's one of my favourite songs right now.
Yeah, yeah, it's a wicked show. Yeah. Brilliant. Well, Paige, I have to say that was a pleasure and very enlightening, and it's great to talk to someone from another generation and get the inside gen on what you do on Snapchat and all that, because I have no idea how I'm going to get on there now.
Definitely download it.
Yeah, it was wonderful, and I just really wish you all the best, and I can see what an incredible talent you are. It's going to be great.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get your hands on tickets to the hottest gigs and festivals. Visit heinekenmusic.ie. Heineken, live your music. Enjoy Heineken responsibly. Visit drinkaware.ie.